we're searching for answer to Ed's question. Well, what was this yeshiva shem va'ever? What was the deficit? You know, and where do we come up with this? Because it's funny. It makes several appearances in last week and this week's parsha. The base midrash of shem va'ever, the yeshiva, as it were, of shem va'ever. What is this? How does it come to? We see that last week Rivka doesn't know what to do, so she goes to the base midrash of shem va'ever and try to figure it out. Then this week we see Yaakov Avinu seems to be hiding in shem va'ever. He goes to study for 14 years or something, shem va'ever. Last week also, apparently Yoshev Ohalim, that says that Yaakov is the dweller of tents. And I said, oh, dweller of tents? So then also the Midrash says, the tent of shame and the tent of Aver. So the Midrash keeps coming back to this idea. And I go, where does it come up with? What is it? What do they learn there? How do we know this? Like, the Yitachin, it was really yeshiva? Like, what is that? So after doing some research, you know, start to dig a little bit. The first thing is, well, Rashi makes a citation, but Rashi is not the primary source where we see this. Rashi is that Rashi a lot of times is reiterating midrashim, and the Lubavitcher Rebbe actually made a science of dissecting specifically which midrash, which version of the midrash, and what Rashi changes when he cites the midrash. And it's very interesting because each place, you know, he developed a large amount of literature in this analysis, because the citation of the different versions of the Midrash we saw yesterday, even during the Megillah class, if you remember, we saw that yesterday that on one hand the Gemara is talking about how Mordechai is visited by Haman to go take him around, and the Gemara says, Mordechai was sitting with the Talmidim and giving a class on the laws of the Mincha offering. But we glance at Rashi, and Rashi says he was talking about the laws of the Omer offering, the Korban, which is what immediately after Passover. It was a barley offering, and whereas the Mincha offering is a flour offering. And I would say, wait a second, this is not the same midrash that we're referring to. There are different versions of it, and these different versions, you know, there's implications to all of this. So who's citing it? Why is it being cited? How was it changed? These are all questions, like if we want to be precise in our learning. So Rashi cites these midrashim. The midrash is the one that cites it. The midrash asks Ed's question, actually, and it's fantastic. You have the primary source. The Midrash Rabbah says, "V'chi ha'yel Hashem beis Midrash? Did Shem really have a study hall? How does that work?" And it says, "Ella, anytime that you meet with a zakin, you meet with a wise person, it's as if you're receiving the face of the Shechina. A person who meets with an elder, it's as if they're perceiving the face of the Shechina." Now, part of this, and part of what the implication is, therefore, if we remember, there's a history, right? Shem, we say Beis Midrash Shem ve'ever. Shem is a what's it called? Shem is the son of Noach. Noach was spoken to by God. Remembering, there are 10 generations in between Noach and Avram Avinu. Right, and as a result, Shem is a link then back to the spirituality and the relationship with God that Noah had. That Shem is the one who continued on this path. So as a result, that there was something that was garnered, number one, by Rivka, when she went to go visit Shem to try to figure this out. So the Midrash says that just going there, being there in the presence of someone, sort of it was actually a prophetic device, as she was set her mind at ease. And one of the Achronim, the Hadar Zakenim, I don't know who it was, but it was printed in Italy in 1860, and the Hadar Zakenim said, she actually had the prophetic experience, not like Rashi says that Shem said to her, but she had a prophetic experience in meeting with Shem, that she went there. Why? Because he's a link back to Noah, who's a link back then to Adam. Because, with the long lifespans, you're dealing with then some amount of prophetic tradition. You have Adam, and Adam then connects to Noah, right? And Noach is to Shem, and then Shem is to Rivka. You're two or three steps back from somebody who met the Creator like on those terms. So on one level, that can be what it's being referred to. Secondly, which is very, very interesting, and I saw it out of order. You know, when you do archaeology, you start looking through the first layer, then you go down to the next layer, then you go to the next layer. Similarly, if we understand what books we're reading and understanding where the citations are, you're also going to you mine through the different layers in the same way like when you go do archaeology in Israel, you see that you have the Byzantine period, the Roman period. You go back, you can get then to the Babylonian period. You go even further back, you can get to the first base of Mikdash. And there, even when last time I was there, we found something even from the time of the Shoftim. It was fantastic. It's pre-Davidic dynasty, pre-Beis HaMikdash, and just layers and layers and layers of all this history. Right? And, you know, first there's a Crusader period also on top of that. Like, you go through these different layers. So similarly, when we look at all of our texts, you start mining also. You say, okay, we see Rashi. Rashi's 11th century. Midrash Rabbah, let's go back. It's 5th, it's 6th. Maybe 7th century. So you start going back, you start digging deeper, and some of these traditions have go even further back. But I went out of order, and I saw something from the Kohen from Lublin. Yeah, unfortunately, out of order, because the Kohen from Lublin lived in Lublin. He died in 1900. But he said, well, if you think about it, that it's not the first time that we see Shem emerging as a teacher. Like, what do you mean, Shem emerging as a teacher? Because what's the blessing that Noah gives to Shem? Right? Yafes Elokim Yafes, that Greece will have the beauty. And we know the aesthetics of Greece is what the blessing is referring to. Yafes Elokim Yafes, be Yishkon be Ohalei Shem, when it dwells within the tents of Shem. So we have a pasuk talking about that there seems to be some amount of tradition of Shem being a teacher. Not only that, the next time we see, again, is our limited casting budget. But again, we see the identity. Malchi Tzedek Melech Shalem is somebody who comes to greet Avram after World War Proto One, right? So where he talks about the four kings, the five kings, he comes out to greet Avram. He's Melech Shalem, Kohen La El Elyon. He's a priest of the highest God, Kohen La El Elyon. And Rashi identifies this as also Shem. So when we put these pieces together, we have the Pasuk in Noach, we have Shem being Malchut Tzedek, we see that this is a person who is, in fact, an Ovid Hashem. He actually is some type of someone who knows the ways of prophecy, who is involved in some type of divine worship. And it would seem that he has some amount of teaching going on as well, but it'd be Ohal Hashem in his tents. So seems like we've uncovered, we've uncovered the base midrash of Shem ve'Aver within the psukim. I previously thought, no, it's just it's something which exists on the midrashic level of reality, but not in the psukim. You can't. But here we see hints in the pasuk to Shem having this identity as well, which is a fascinating idea that it's over there. So what did they do and what did they learn? So there are a couple of different ideas. I'll share one or two with you. One was the Shem Yishmuel said there seemed that Shem Ve'Aver would be ethical science, and Aver would be natural science. That this is what they were thinking. Remember, the idea of nowadays we decompartmentalized everything is that more every discipline grows and is researched. No one person can be, as we say, a kolbo. It's very, very hard for a person to master multiple disciplines. You have people who have smatterings of this knowledge, that the other knowledge. We call it general studies. You know, a well-rounded initial idea of, I try to explain this to students, the idea of all the cores in college is it's supposed to make you a well-rounded individual. So it's supposed to be like a smattering of this, a smattering of that, so you can understand a little bit before you commit yourself to one discipline. But otherwise, you know, that without the compartmentalization, the place where science, philosophy, and medicine meet, right? It was much earlier down where before these ideas, these sciences diverged paths. But it would seem Shem was someone who taught the matters of the mind. Well, Aver was the one who would look to the world and bring it back to the Creator. Similarly, that this idea, Yaakov had the idea last week where he said, yeah, well, you know, the Greeks, they philosophized, and they said, this idea of meditating and thinking, that this seemed to be part of the science of what was also done in this perception. Furthermore, like we said, probably there was also some teaching of the rules of human ethics that which we refer to Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. We tend to think of it as a proper noun, right? B'nei Noach. You know, Sheva Mitzvot was the seven mitzvahs of B'nei Noach. But when we factor in that most of these seven mitzvahs are the bedrock of human morality. Right, that's what it is. No adultery, no stealing, no killing. There should be court systems that are just. That's pretty good. There should be a mensch. There should be a mensch. You know, should be a mensch. Bless God that you know that's not. It's a fantastic idea. So what was it that you know? So you see, we have passive nivu. What's passive divine service? Meditation on the God principle, and. You know, and ethics. So that's probably what was being involved. And Shem being this leg back to the chain. Was it like a real yeshiva? Probably not. Was it a school of thought though? Was it that one could absorb these lessons? Yeah, it would seem to be. So it seems like we've discovered the Beis Midrash, Indiana Boschnack and Indiana Maltzman over here on our adventures. Join us next week as we uncover one of the next world mysteries.